on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Ever come across a case that feels like the entire concept of justice just got flipped upside down? When you look at the facts, look at the outcome, and you start wondering if the word justice even means the same thing to people who wear the robes and the people who live with the fallout? Yeah. That's Stillwater, Oklahoma right now, where 18-year-old Jesse Mack Butler, let's make him famous. Let's let everyone know who this is. Since the justice system said, you know what? You can go and essay these two girls, allegedly, and nearly kill one of them by choking them to death because of the sick crap you're watching on the internet. You think this is how life is. This is how love is. This is how relationships work. And mommy's going to protect you, allegedly. Let's let the world know who this guy is, and let's let anybody who's looking this guy up for the rest of his life find him and go, yeah, we're not going to hire you. This isn't a good idea. This ain't a good idea. Because what you pled no contest to is that bad. And what you got away with is that bad. Since the justice system wasn't allowed to do its job or failed to do it properly, society will help you out with that one, Jesse. Okay? We got you covered. Society has you covered. They will know your name. They will know what a winner you are, what a lovely human being you are. So, good luck with all that. ...18-year-old Jesse Mack Butler, a kid everyone in town used to talk about like a success story. Baseball, grades, good family. And behind the glossy yearbook version of him, two 16-year-old girls will never get their lives back the same way again. He didn't just allegedly assault them. He owned the room, the moment, their breath, strangled them. One of the girls had to have surgery on her neck because the pressure was so bad. Doctors said another 5 seconds and she would have been gone. The other lost consciousness. This is his idea of high school romance, by the way. So yes, anyone in the future who happens to come across this lovely specimen on a dating app or wherever he preys on people in the future, because make no mistake, once a predator, always a predator. And if you're seeing this video, run for your fucking life. Run for your fucking life. They don't change. They never will change. It is pathological. It is in them, and there ain't no fixing it. One of the girls lost consciousness. You don't do that by accident. You don't strangle someone by accident. That's intent. That's power. That's a kind of violence that leaves fingerprints on the psyche, not just the skin. And yet the state of Oklahoma looked at all that and said, rehabilitation, not prison, not decades, not you just forfeited your shot at freedom. Oklahoma looks at itself going, I wonder why we have so many problems. Why we're the worst in education? Why we're the worst in this? Because you make horrible decisions and horrible people. Now, not everybody from Oklahoma is bad. It actually, it's pretty close to where I live. And I do know lovely people that live in Oklahoma. There's also a cacophony of mutants that are reflections of the education system and the societal problems that are allowed to fester there. But you can really say that about almost any state. You really can. You look deep enough, you look hard enough, you will find them. It's just some are ranked worse than others. Not prison, not decades. Rehabilitation. Because technically he was 17 when he did it. That single digit before 18 became his golden ticket. Let me be clear. The Youthful Offender Act was written for kids who steal cars or get caught up in a fight, not for people who almost choke someone to death while SAing them. But here we are. The elected district attorney, Laura Austin Thomas, runs Payne County. The judge was Special Judge Susan Worthington. Between the DA's discretion and the judge's approval, Butler was reclassified as a youthful offender. It almost sounds like safe. Youthful. It was a youthful mistake to essay your friends and choke them out to near death, allegedly. And that little phrase erased 78 years of possible prison time. He gets 1 year under supervision. Not prison time. Just supervision out in the wild. Counseling, curfews, check-ins. Then assuming he keeps his head down and he walks. That is not accountability. That is a sabbatical. And the moment that defined the entire story, the body cam clip, the arrest video where his mother says, "I will get you out. I'll get you out, darling. Don't you worry about a thing. I know I raised you a little monster with no consequences and shut my eyes and ignored everything because you couldn't possibly do anything like this, could you?" That, of course, is my conjecture and my opinion. She got him out. She wasn't bluffing. It was the most honest line in the whole case. You want to see what happened? Here's what happened. Here's the clip itself.
Give me your wallet and phone. So, okay. Your what?
They're in the glove.
Well, okay, it's fine. It's not locked or anything, is it? Yeah. Okay. So, can you tell him what you just told me, or...
Yeah, so we're here. We're obviously going to place you under arrest. There's a warrant for your arrest. We're going to take you to the jail. I told your mom that she can contact a bondsman, and you shouldn't be very long, but there just is a process for paperwork and stuff. But right now, you do have to come with us, and I do have to put you in handcuffs, so turn around for me.
You have to put me in handcuffs? Yeah, I'll get you out for me. All right, stay silent. Rick knows about this. Candy's on this. Dad's on his way. We're coming to get you, okay? Stay strong, okay? Say your prayers.
Yes, okay. Let's invoke God.
He's going to go right to the city of Stillwater Jail, and if you'll just
say your prayers,
her, then she
that he strikes your ass off this planet.
Okay. She knows Stillwater Police Department, not a county.
Yeah. Stillwater Police Department. Yeah. On Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me know that we're the ones to pick him up.
And let me say we are
Stillwater PD.
Stillwater PD.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way they don't think he went straight over and he's over the county.
On Lewis parents.
Can I pass you down a stretch of feet for me? Aww. There's so much one would like to say about mom right there. I'll back it up. People see and hear that and feel the instinctive sickness that comes with seeing the game exposed, because deep down, everyone knows how this works in towns like Stillwater. When your dad's worked inside Oklahoma State University football operations and your family shows up on donor lists, when your mom can call the right lawyer before the ink is dry on the warrant, doors open that are supposed to stay locked, allegedly. Again, he pled no contest. So this is, I'm going to say again, very much an opinion piece. I'll let you, you know, I'm going to hear your opinion in the comments section. The spin starts. The spin starts. Nobody knows about this. I'm coming to get you. Daddy's going to get you too. Oh, nobody knows about this. Oh, everybody knows about this, and they will for the rest of your life. He's a good kid. He's remorseful. He has potential. There's no potential in a predator. Tell that to the girl who will spend the rest of her life jumping at every unexpected sound. Tell that to the parents who will never see their daughter the same way again because she came home broken from a date, not a war zone. But let's talk about why this happened, because it's not just about one judge or one DA. It's about a culture that keeps mistaking privilege for promise. The Youthful Offender Act, Title 10A, Section 2-5-205 in Oklahoma. It says the court may grant youthful offender status if rehabilitation seems possible. May is the word in this. That's doing all the heavy lifting. It doesn't say shall. It doesn't say must. It leaves the door wide open for maybe. If we like you. And every time that door opens, someone with connections walks on through. In a state where sentencing for lesser crimes is often brutal, where kids with no money, no lawyer, no family reputation get decades for one mistake, this case feels like an insult carved into marble. Because the law is supposed to protect the vulnerable, not cushion the comfortable. And let's remember what strangulation means in psychology. It's not random violence, it's domination. The offender literally decides that another human being can breathe. It's the act most closely linked to later homicide. Domestic violence researchers call it the rehearsal. And this court called it rehabitable. Yeah, rehabitable. That's the kind of logic that makes you lose faith in every promise the justice system ever made. The district attorney's office hasn't produced any public explanation for the deal. No memo, no statement showing the reasoning. The court hasn't released the written findings either. So we're all left guessing what qualified this case as a candidate for mercy. His age, his GPA, his father's resume, the fact that the case would look ugly on a local headline if a well-known family son went to prison. When information is withheld, speculation fills the vacuum, and that speculation smells a lot like privilege. Now, imagine being one of those girls. You walk into a courtroom expecting closure, expecting the state to speak for you. Instead, you watch the system fold itself into origami so it doesn't have to look the defendant's family in the eye. You sit there while the man who nearly killed you is told he'll be monitored. As if violence, this deliberate, is a curfew problem. That's what trauma plus betrayal feels like. The realization that the justice system speaks your language. And this isn't justice about two victims. It's about every future case. Because every defense attorney in Oklahoma just got a new line in their playbook. If Jesse Butler deserved rehabilitation, so does my client. This decision will be cited in plea talks, in motions, in negotiations for years. It will ripple out to every courthouse that looks for precedent instead of courage. It makes Oklahoma land of the free to go and essay people. If you're 17, you basically get a free pass because you can be rehabilitated. You're a youthful offender. So every idiotic 17-year-old that can't control his urges, that has a modality of SAing women. It's free open season in Oklahoma. Gee, another reason not to live there. Meanwhile, survivors see the opposite lesson. They see that coming forward can still end in humiliation. They see that evidence and pain don't matter if the offender fits the good kid mold. That's how silence grows, not from fear of the attacker, but from fear of the courtroom. The truth is, small-town justice isn't blind. It's nearsighted. It sees clearly when the accused looks like them. It squints at everyone else. And that's the disease this case exposes, the slow infection of empathy that only flows upward. Judges and prosecutors start to see offenders as sons, not threats. They protect the possibility of redemption because it's more comfortable than confronting evil in a familiar packaging. The real justice isn't comfortable. It's supposed to hurt. It's supposed to draw lines that don't bend when someone with influence leans on them. So where does that leave us? With a legal system that claims to protect youth while endangering everyone else. A system that uses mercy like a currency traded among the privileged. And when victims who learn once again that their pain is negotiable, and when pain becomes negotiable, justice stops being justice and turns into PR. That's what's rotting underneath the story. A justice system that manages its image instead of protecting the public. It pretends that leniency equals progress, that mercy equals morality, and saving one young man's future somehow balances the lives he nearly destroyed. Not every young man's future needs saving. There's plenty of young men out there to fill in the blanks. Let's get rid of the shitty ones when they raise their hands and do horrible shit, allegedly, and we find out about it. Let's pluck them from the system so they can't go on for the rest of their lives doing this shit, because he will. Mark my frickin' words. He will. If that's in your DNA, if that is in your modality, the odds of you offending again are frickin' high. In my opinion, look out, ladies. You see this man across from you at a restaurant, at a bar, on a dating site, run for your life and let every woman you know about this monster. In my opinion. And let's be honest about what happened here. This wasn't some impulsive teenager fumbling his way through adolescence. This was violence that took planning, control, and intent. You don't accidentally strangle someone until they need surgery. You don't get carried away twice. That's not youth. That's pathology. And the court's response told every predator with a smile and a scholarship that Oklahoma is still a place where the right background can make even the worst crimes look forgivable. Come on down. Friday Night Lights, everybody. There's an old myth in communities like Stillwater that justice should have a human touch. What that really means is that the law bends for people who remind the judge of their nephew or the DA of her son's baseball teammate or something. That's not a human touch. That's bias with a handshake. Look at the official language. The court finds the defendant shows potential for rehabilitation. Based on what? No psychiatric evaluation has been made public. No risk assessment has been shown. The only evidence anyone's seen is the kind that bleeds. And yet we're told rehabilitation is probable. Why? Because the person in front of them looked like a kid they could imagine at Sunday dinner instead of someone that they could imagine behind bars or SAing their daughter. Now imagine how the logic plays in the opposite direction. Picture a poor teenager, no family connections, no polished attorney, standing in the same courtroom with the same charges. Do you think for one second that potential for rehabilitation would appear anywhere near that sentence, the other 80 to 90% of the population of Oklahoma living in the sticks? He'd be tried as an adult before the ink dried on the indictment, especially if his skin happened to be a different color. This is a case of what privilege looks like when it's disguised as fairness. Everyone in the room swears they're just following the law, but somehow the law always lands softer on the same kind of people. It's the quiet side of corruption, not money in envelopes, but just comfort and familiarity guiding the hand that signs the judgment. And you can feel it in the way the town reacts. There's anger, yes, but there's also a wary shrug from people who've seen this before. That's just how things go here. It's resignation. That resignation is how injustice stays alive, not with grand conspiracies, but with tiny acts of acceptance. Neighbors deciding not to rock the boat, officials convincing themselves that mercy is a noble cause when it's really favoritism wearing a robe. The victims' families aren't just angry about the sentence, they're angry about being invisible. During this whole process, their pain was treated like a side note. Inconvenience. Well, your daughters are, they're rocking the boat over here. Yeah. Something to be acknowledged and then brushed aside so the court could focus on the bright future of the boy who nearly killed their daughters. That's the cruelty of leniency. It asks the victims to be the bigger people while the system acts small. Psychologists will tell you that strangulation, again, it's about control. Anybody who's integrating this into their S life, especially a 17-year-old, it ain't going to end well. The abuser wants to own another person's breath, their existence, their silence. That's what happened in those bedrooms. But here's a sick twist. The courtroom did the same thing. It took the survivors' voices, pressed down on them, and said, "We'll decide how much justice you get." That's the second kind of suffocation. It's quieter, but it leaves the same mark. And the long-term damage, it isn't just two traumatized young women. It's every woman in that community watching, thinking, if this is what happens when you report, why would I ever come forward? That is the ripple effect of leniency. It doesn't just protect an offender. It intimidates a whole generation of potential victims into silence. This is why people don't trust institutions anymore, because they see that laws can be rewritten mid-trial with a wink and a clause. They see that equal justice under the law is just a slogan. It's not a guarantee. And when the powerful fail to punish the powerful, people start taking justice into their own hands, at least emotionally. If not literally, that's how cynicism becomes the national religion. What makes this case especially toxic is how familiar it feels. We've seen it before. Brock Turner at Stanford, Austin Wilkerson in Colorado, case after case where judges decided that protecting a young man's potential was more important than protecting the people he hurt. Each one chips away at public faith until faith becomes sarcasm. Here's what Oklahoma needs to hear. This isn't mercy. This isn't compassion. This is cowardice. Mercy without accountability isn't mercy. It's abandonment. It's enablement. Enablement. You are literally saying, well, we're gonna put our odds that he's never gonna offend again. You know what your odds are? They're strongly against you. There ain't no way, shape, or form you're going to twist this and go, oh, yeah, the odds are here that he's going to be reformed. It doesn't happen. And there are no stats that exist to show that there is any possible rehabilitation for someone who has done this sort of shit allegedly. And every time the justice system confuses the two, it teaches predators that empathy is negotiable. Lawmakers need to start closing these loopholes. The youthful offender statute has value, but it was never meant to be a shield for violent crime. It needs teeth, clear language, excluding sexual assault and strangulation. It needs transparency, mandatory written justifications anytime a violent case is diverted into youthful offender status. No more backroom mercy. And maybe it needs a cultural reckoning, too, because what happened in Stillwater isn't just about one law. It's about a social ecosystem that protects the promising over the vulnerable and gives the benefit of the doubt to power instead of pain. That's the real sickness, the polite, smiling rot that calls itself community. The people of Oklahoma deserve to see exactly how this decision was made. They deserve to read every word that convinced a court to treat a near murderer as a rehabilitation opportunity. They deserve to know who argued for it, who signed off, and what data, if any, supported that mercy. Sunlight doesn't destroy justice. It's the only thing that keeps it alive. And until that happens, every survivor in that state will walk a little quieter. Every parent will watch their daughters a little closer. And every predator with the right connections will sleep a little easier. Jesse Butler will finish his year of supervision. He'll check the boxes, show up to counseling, post the right photos on social media, and when it's over, he'll get on with his life. The girls he strangled will carry his fingerprints on their memory for the rest of theirs. In my opinion. That's the trade Stillwater made. One future preserved at the cost of two destroyed. It is not mercy. That is moral bankruptcy dressed up as compassion. And until the system can tell the difference, Oklahoma courts will keep handing out forgiveness like candy. Sweet to the privileged, poison to everyone else. Come trick or treat in Oklahoma. Your thoughts in the comments section. Again, he pled no contest. That's how it went. These are my opinions. Maddening, is it not? Absolutely maddening. Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. Search that wherever you get podcasts and press subscribe. If you're not already there, press subscribe. You're watching this or listening to this somewhere. So wherever that is, press subscribe. And comments on YouTube, please do. Love to hear your thoughts. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.